This episode may contain explicit language, and just a heads up, we'll be discussing guns and gun violence in this episode. Welcome to Care and Feeding, the show where we raise the next generation together. I'm Zach Rosen. I also host another podcast. It's called The Best Advice Show. I am dad to 6-year-old Noah and 3-year-old Ami. We live in Detroit.
I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer and contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding Parenting column. I'm mom to Naima, who is 11 going on 40, and we live in Los Angeles.
I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the family travel blog Dutch Dutch Goose, and I'm the mom of three littles, Henry, who's 12, Oliver, who's 9, and Teddy, who's 7. We live in Tokyo, Japan.
Today we're answering a tricky listener question about family members with guns. This parent's in-laws own firearms and maybe aren't being super responsible with them. If this listener doesn't normally let their kids visit homes with guns, should family be an exception to the rule? And then, of course, we'll debrief on our week with a round of triumphs and fails. So let's get going. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll see you back here for our listener question. All right, we're back, and it's time to hop into our listener question.
I have long had a difficult relationship with my in-laws for many reasons. They live a few states away, so normally we do not see them that frequently, but every visit fills me with anxiety at a maximum, and a recent event has me more worried. We met up in New York a few weeks ago for some extended family celebrations. My husband and his parents often get into playful fights at visits, and this was no exception. Then his mom went from playful to actually angry and said that if she had her gun with her, she would have shot him. When his mom and sister each got firearms, my husband shared with both of them. He did not agree with that. We typically hold the rule that our children do not go into homes with firearms, but now we're about to visit his family, and I am concerned. I asked my husband to discuss with both his sister and mother that any firearms should be locked away and completely inaccessible to our children, and that they should not be mentioned. I can set a boundary of if we see or hear mention of a gun, we're leaving, but I am concerned that by the time a gun is brandished, the danger and emotion would already be way beyond what I am willing to tolerate. What should I do? And presuming that my in-laws will refuse to have their guns stored outside of their homes during our stay, what options do I have?
I'll just share, because it's relevant, that my father was a police detective. So I grew up, even though he didn't live with us, being around his guns. When he would come to our house, he would usually take them off, put them in a cabinet atop the refrigerator. I knew not to touch them. When I went to his home, you know, he had rifles that were visible and out, and we just knew that we weren't supposed to engage with them. And there are lots of families that have guns in the home and have very responsible practices for making sure that children don't get access to them. And that's not to say that tragedies haven't taken place even within families that practice responsible gun ownership. But I don't want you to assume that because these people have guns that they're not going to be responsible with them. You've had a long, difficult relationship with your in-laws, which means you've had a long relationship with your in-laws. And even though you may not see them that frequently, it sounds to me that you've never seen one of their firearms. That's kind of what I'm gleaning from this letter. So I think it is important that your husband has a conversation with his mom and his sister about, you know, where are the guns going to be when my children are in your home? You know, that's a good question for anyone, you know, who owns a gun. Where are the guns kept? What is, you know what I mean? Like, what are you intending to do to keep my children safe in your presence? It's unfortunate that his mom got angry and told her son that she would have shot him. That's a really awful
red flag
to say. And it may be worth him mentioning, because I do think, because you all have a contentious relationship, that your husband needs to be the one to have this conversation with his family, that, you know, that was unsettling to you both. And you want to ensure that, you know, nobody's going to brandish a gun because they're having an argument, you know, that the guns are put away and that you all can settle your disputes in a normal, healthy way just by yelling at each other like everybody else in the world.
Sure.
But I think your boundary of if we see or hear mention of a gun, we're leaving is completely correct, you know? And I think that's what you should do. Inquire about it prior to the trip, prior to any trip. Reminder, if we see or hear about a gun, we're out of there, and stick to it.
I think it's even okay to extend the boundary. Like, if whatever you feel comfortable with, in terms of, like, if your boundary is that your children do not enter homes in which there are, you know, firearms, period, that's an okay boundary. If your boundary is that your children only enter homes in which you know that firearms are stored in some particular way for you, I think that's also an okay boundary. But I think what has to happen is whatever that boundary is, you and your husband need to be in, you know, perfect sync for what that is for when he has this conversation. Because I think the conversation has to go something, you know, like, we completely respect your right to own firearms. Our, you know, for the safety of our children, what we feel comfortable with is X, whatever that is, that the guns be stored out of the house, that the firearms are locked up separately, whatever that is for you and whatever that looks like. I think you need to be really clear. And I think the other thing is to not revoke the entire visit over this, but instead say, you know, if you are storing them in your, I don't know, bedroom drawer or under your pillow, whatever it is that they're doing, and you find out through this conversation that you're uncomfortable with, just say, I just can't, you know, we just can't have the kids in the house. There's just too many risks for us. We're happy to stay in a hotel and we can meet you here. We can go do this. Right. Like, we are hoping to see you all the time. I wouldn't make it this contentious, like, all or nothing. But I also think it's okay for you to say, we're uncomfortable with this and we're just not going to be in the house then. I think there's nothing wrong with that as long as the conversation is held from a place of love without any blame being put on anyone. Because I think so often what happens with something like handguns is, or I don't even know that it's handguns, but with firearms, right, is that there's so many emotions that we almost can't communicate what we actually want, which is just negotiating kind of what you as the parents feel safe for your children. I'm also confused if the firearms are new or not and what you've done in the past, but it sounds like maybe they're new. I don't.
Yeah, we don't know that. I totally agree that the kind of tone of inquiry is super important. And I think you can go beyond saying we were unsettled by, you know, this recent thing and come out and, you know, whether or not it's your husband or you that's going to do it, the husband should probably be the first one. I think stating that you were scared, that you were fearful, I think that can really get directly into someone. Like, I think that your mother-in-law hopefully will hear you and will feel that the fear that you felt and, you know, reflect on how she's going to carry herself in the future. So I think coming at it with love 100%, but also just kind of that total vulnerable honesty and fear that you felt, because I felt fear reading your letter. That's scary. If my mother-in-law said that, I would be totally destabilized too. So your fears are founded, and it doesn't mean it's going to be the end of your relationship either.
I think too, you can mention it's not something you're imposing just on them. Like I think it's okay
this
to
is
say
our
like
rule.
In general, you know, we do not let our children go to houses in which there are fires or whatever, again, that is for you, so that they don't feel like this is a result of your contentious relationship with them or that your husband is somehow, you know, imposing something on them that I feel like in families that can get very like, well, you would come with the kids if she wasn't here, like those sort of things. Mm-hmm. But I think you need to really decide what it is. Like, what are your requirements, and communicate those as clearly as possible, and have a plan in which you can still see and visit with your family where these are met. Like, you need to be the one to do the work to figure that out if you want to maintain this relationship.
Mm-hmm. Did your friends, Jamila, ever get curious about your dad's guns?
I was very secretive about my apartment growing up because we lived in a one bedroom. I was very embarrassed about it. So, and even the times I did have friends over, my dad wouldn't have been there, you know? Mm-hmm. So we never had to deal with that. I do, my older sister, I probably shouldn't tell this story, but I think she let a boy play with one of our father's guns and he fired it, you know? Oh, so, yeah, luckily no one was hurt, but there was some, you know, gun trouble.
Yeah, it's real.
Yeah, I mean, I told a story on the podcast at this point many years ago about Henry going to a friend's house and Jeff had taken him to like a co-worker's house, and then they went to the co-worker's parents' house who was down the street. And I feel like typically I run through all of the like, are there firearms in the house? Where do you store them? Like all of that. It never even crossed his mind. And they were playing hide and seek and they came across a gun under a pillow. And Henry, of course, came right out of the house, you know, explained all this. It was an incredibly awkward situation, but he did the right thing. And Jeff handled it very well from that point on. But it really hammered home to me that you can do all of these things and still have a situation in which your child comes across a firearm. I have no idea if the firearm was, you know, loaded, not loaded. I just know that as they were kind of playing around in a room, they knocked over a pillow and there it was.
But before a play date, Elizabeth, you're talking to the parent or guardian and asking these questions?
Yeah, I mean, not here, but anywhere else, I am legitimately asking, like, do you have firearms in the house? And I try to be very, I mean, we're in a military community. There's plenty of them. It's more that I need to know where they're stored and what you have in the house just to make me feel comfortable.
And I lead when you ask.
Yeah, I mean, I just lead with like, you might think this is crazy. This is just something that I, you know, I know the record of children's related deaths to guns in the home. I would just feel better like, do you have guns in the house? And if they're not, I just say, I'm so sorry. You're welcome to come to our house. We would love to meet you at a park. I just don't feel comfortable. And if, you know.
Have you ever had to say, like, we can't do this?
Yes. Oh, wow. I have. They have said, like, we, you know, I have one in my bedside table, but the kids don't play in there. And I just said, I'm really uncomfortable. You know, I just feel uncomfortable with that. My kids, I'm not sure that my kids entirely would know what to do. And then the parent usually says, like, well, my kids know not to play in there. And I say, you know, my kids are curious and I can just see a case in which even if we tell them they get in there. But I'm having a really good time with you. Is there some way that we could meet at a park or you're welcome to come to, you know, my house? And listen, if they're offended, they're offended. I just don't know what else to say other than if they're offended, I'm super sorry. And I always say, like, I have no problem with the ownership itself. I just have, these are my boundaries. And I'll even say, like, these are my boundaries as a non-gun owner. You know, like, maybe they don't make any sense, but they're mine. In the same way that you might ask that I don't, you know, feed your child something or that I don't have, I don't know, whatever. So I've also had parents that are like, you know, yes, we own them and they're stored here and this is what's happened. And wow, how responsible of you for asking, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've been asked too. I do think it's becoming more common.
I have to admit, that's not something I would have thought to ask. And Naima's been on very few, like, goodness, there's a neighbor that she goes to visit, the next door neighbor at her dad's house. They're very, the families are very close. So she spends some time over his house. And there was one of her girlfriends, two girlfriends that she had in New York that she would go visit. But other than that, and, you know, and I knew their mothers, you know, I can't say with any certainty. I mean, I'm pretty certain they didn't own guns. You know, but it's just simply not something that I would have thought about. But, you know, if and when she does get the opportunity to visit someone's home, that may be a question that I want to ask.
Same. Yeah, I've never asked that. So I'm glad we got this letter.
Have either of you all ever considered owning a gun?
No.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
I did. Now, when we first sort of got... When I would say when I first moved to base with Jeff, like right after we got married, I had not really ever been around any kind of firearms. And of course, they're on base. And one of the things that he did do was have a friend of his who is a responsible gun owner, like, take me to a range and learn kind of about guns, which I thought was actually really good, like how to fire one, how to take ammunition out of, you know, a couple different types. Which was really good because I was so scared. And I mean, I'm not sure this made me less scared, but it certainly made me better informed about a situation that, like, we're on this base. There are guns. There's guns around a lot on military bases. A lot of people own guns, of course. But I did feel like that was a good education to not be scared of it itself, if that makes sense. Like, just since I had absolutely no exposure to firearms.
Yeah. Have you thought about it, Jamila?
Yeah. It's something I've thought about over the years. My father is very passionate about people arming themselves and, you know, kind of hates the fact that none of his daughters can shoot. I have been meaning, I mean, for my whole life, I guess, or my whole adult life, to go to a gun range and just at least learn how to fire one.
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, I have just the concern about having a child in the house, you know, and I think that even if I familiarized her with, okay, I have this here, and I'm going to keep it in places where, you know, you don't go and you don't look. And if you do come across it, you're never to touch it and you're to let me know. I just still worry over, you know, the temptation.
Well, this was illuminating. So I'm glad, listener, you wrote in, and we really are hoping for safety and unity within your family. And listeners, we always want to know what you think. Do you keep guns in the house or have relatives who do? How do you navigate differences of opinion about this? You can email us at KarenFeedingPod@slate.com, or our favorite option, leave us a voicemail at 646-357-9318. I have a feeling we'll return to this topic. Okay, we're going to take another quick break, but we'll be back here in a second for triumphs and fails. We're back and moving on to our segment called Triumphs and Fails. Elizabeth, have you triumphed or failed this week?
I don't know if this is a triumph.
We'll be
or fail.
The judge of that.
It's just okay. My life. All right. Oliver, my lovely middle little, comes home with like a lot of paper in his backpack. Like a lot. I don't know if you have kids. Like, it is just like crumpled paper under everything else. Okay. You know I can't be bothered with, like, art and keeping stuff. Like, it's not my thing. I don't want this in my house. But I do, like, whatever he's producing, right? So I sit every night and I, like, take it all out and I spread it out and I take a few minutes to look at it. I usually do it after he goes to bed.
Oh, so literally you're saying you can be bothered by it.
Yeah, I can.
Okay, so you can. Okay. Sorry.
Go, absolutely. In fact, not only can I,
most,
I am.
It doesn't get that far for most parents.
So I'm looking at all this. There's like a lot of dragon. He draws a lot of dragons. He's into comic books. But then I start to notice that he's making what I can only call motivational posters. Like, there's these posters that have sayings. Okay. And they're I have a few, but I'm going to describe them. But they're written in this like spooky handwriting, like almost like you won't be able to read this one, but he's like going over each letter. Okay, some of them have illustrations, some of them are just a lot of words on a sheet of paper, and it is as if he's like sketched the letters to make them. All right, so at first
it looks like a ransom note for those
thank
listening
you
at
yes
home.
It looks like a ransom note. Okay. At first I thought he was copying things from somewhere around the classroom, because the first one I saw said equal is not fair enough for everyone is. And then there's a drawing of like three people on different size boxes and they're looking over a fence. I don't know if I can find this one, but in the background is a tiny atomic bomb and it's labeled tiny atomic bomb. And I'm thinking, this one was clearly inspired by our visit to Hiroshima, what it has to do with, you know, equal, I don't know, but okay, lovely. He's copying these things. He's thinking about them. The next one said, you'll never win if you never try. And he's drawn two math tests. One They both have his name at the top, one in which is totally empty and he's getting a zero, and one in mm-hmm. which he gets half the questions right. And then in red pen, mm-hmm. it says 50% and the teacher wrote, at least you tried. Like, he made the teacher. Okay.
That's sweet.
Then he has one that says active learners only with a drawing of a sleeping strawberry. So I'm like, okay. But guys, they start to get from there coming home truly, truly bizarre.
Okay.
There is one that says books are the path to amazing places. And there's like a bookshelf and the books open and it's making this path to a village. And in the village are all these ghosts. Then there's one that says only the pure of heart can live again. And it's drawing of swords going through the hearts. Then there's just like this one I'm holding up. Books decide your fate. Just that. Books decide your fate. Okay, now the next day what comes home is the mean are just trying to be funny. Okay. And no one cryptic. Controls you. You are yourself. Mm. All right. Finally, we have death lurk in every corner. And there is a drawing of like mm-hmm. a grim reaper coming around mm-hmm. the corner to a like startled man. So mm-hmm. last 2 days ago. This one mm-hmm. comes home, the ransom note one. I mean, they all look like this, which says, a flower is the path to harm. And so I say to him, I want you to know that since these have been coming home, I've been putting them in a notebook. I said, hey, like, these are really great. When are you doing these? He's like, you know, just during school. And I'm like, okay, why? And he's like, I mm-hmm. just take a few minutes every day when I'm done with my work to write down the things I've been thinking about. I'm like, okay, what does a flower is the path to harm mean? And he said, well, today I was just thinking about how things that are really cute can actually harm you. You know, we think cute stuff doesn't hurt us, but sometimes even nice things hurt. You know, like a flower. It could kill you. Hmm. And then he just walked out of the room. So...
Hmm. Okay.
I leave you with, I'm raising a deep thinker, I guess. I don't know.
Yes.
I'm keeping these forever for all the people who have been listening when I'm like, I throw out every piece of art. I want to frame these weird. Because you know what? Death in fact does lurk around every corner.
He's not wrong about that. No. I mean, a flower, like an opium poppy, you know, mm-hmm. could lead to harm, for example.
Poison ivy.
Yeah, poison ivy. Poison sumac. What does Jeff say?
I mean,
is he concerned?
Oh, I don't think either of us are concerned, but we both are like, I think we're continually astonished at Oliver's, like, what's going on in Oliver's brain. He's just like, so.
Does he read fantasy, by the way?
Oh, I mean, he reads. He is a
so I think a lot
reader.
Of this.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of this kind of sounds literary.
Coming from books are his. Everything. Like, he is constantly reading when you know, he's done with work. He chooses if there's a choice to go to outdoor recess or the library. He's in the library.
He's kind of mimicking stuff that he's reading. Yeah. Yeah. It does sound like that.
You should get him a really cool notebook where he can keep these together, you know, like, since he's doing so many of them. And then when he finishes that book, he can start another one.
Like
and
a if, collection. You
know, yeah, and if he ever wants to tear this. One out, that's fine. But it would be cool for him to have just, like, a journal of his bizarre writings.
Yeah, time capsule.
Because you're right. It is kind of like he's journaling. Like, upon reflection, it is more like he's journaling than writing.
It's great.
Because I said, who are these for? And he's like, me.
Yeah. Just they're just passing through them. I think it's great. So that's definitely not a fail.
No.
I think it's a triumph like a triumph said, of the imagination.
It's a triumph of the imagination.
Yes. Yes.
What about Jamila? What about you?
Oh, I have a tremendous triumph that has nothing to do with parenting and everything to do with parenting. okay. I just got back from a girls' trip to Cancun. I had the time of my life. one of my good girlfriends who lives in Atlanta told me, you know, she was going on a girls trip and one of the women had to cancel and they had extra slot and there was supposed to be, you know, 8 people total going. And she wanted to know if I was interested. And I was like, I don't know. And then I realized that the price was really affordable, you know, because she quoted me a price and I was like, well, let me look at flights. And she was like, no, that includes the flight. And I was like, oh, sold. You know, and I was nervous yeah. about traveling with women I didn't know. And these were the sweetest ladies. I have 6 new Aww. Friends. We just had so much fun. Most of us were mothers, a couple are not.
So you only knew the one. Sorry, you only knew the one that invited you?
Yeah.
Wow. So not only did you go, you like went on. That's yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Are any of the other ones in LA? Any of the new
no,
friends?
No, they're all in Atlanta, but I'm going to go and visit them. And, you know, cute. And one of them was like, even if you want to bring your daughter, we've got babysitters. Like, just come on down. We want to see you again. We're going to take another trip together next summer. Wow. It was just awesome. And Naima, I posted this on my Instagram. She texted me because we keep a shared notes file where her dad, stepmom, and I like record date. Like we track our dates, like who has her on what day. And like mm-hmm. at the bottom, it has like a list of like upcoming things. Like, so if any of us is taking a trip with or without her, like we record that there. And so Naima somehow forgot because I told her, I was like, I'm going on a trip. I'm going with Destiny. We're going to Cancun. And she forgot. And so she texted me one day, like in all caps, something along the lines of, your butt was trying to hide this from me, mom of the year. Why are you going to Cancun? And she was mm-hmm, really in mm-hmm. her feelings about the trip at first. But finally, by the mm-hmm. time it was, you know, time for me to go, she wished me well. And we talked every day while I was gone. And she told me that she was glad I was having fun. And I got Aww. Some amazing pics. If you want to see my ass, it's on Instagram. if you're listeners to the pod and you want to see my butt, go to Instagram. So go to my Instagram
That's
page.
That's at Jamila Lemieux.
At Jamila Lemieux. And comment that you listen to Karen Feeding so I can know that where you came from. But yes, I got some thirst traps. I got some new friends. It is well with my soul.
It's amazing. Zach, triumph or fail for you?
Yeah, so Jamila and I did not plan this, but I also just got back from a trip to Cancun.
What?
Shira and I took a trip last week. It was actually just, we went, it was south of Cancun, kind of between Cancun and Tulum. But this was our first like trip where we weren't going to like see friends. It was just the two of us. We haven't done that in like over 7 years.
Oh my gosh. So
it was, similar to what Jamila, you were just saying, it was a perfect trip. It was a perfect trip. We had the best time. It was so incredible not to care or feed yes. other people other than ourselves. Don't remember what that really felt like, because you know there's like the weekend, like getting away for the weekend, but like 5 days yeah. it's you know yeah. it's a different thing. And I know that a lot of parents can't do this, you know, time, money, etc., but if you can figure this out. And you know, part of the triumph was we were able to get 2 of our friends to watch the kids for a couple nights. Our grandparents watched the kids for a couple nights. So we felt really good about, you know, the childcare setup when we were away. But it is so, we didn't realize that we needed the trip for our relationship. Not that we've been bad at all. You know, like we're solid. Thank goodness. But like this just totally recharged our love battery. And it was perfect. The weather was great. Did you do any cenotes, Jamila?
No.
Did you go to cenotes? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So cenotes are these, you know, these, natural cave pools that were formed by meteors hitting the region, like, you know, hundreds of millions of years ago. And we went and swam in these like majestic bodies of water. We went snorkeling in the ocean. We ate tacos. We drank margaritas, like all the Mexico things we did. I read a novel, like, you know, just the things that you can't do when you're at home or have a hard time doing when you're home. So it was, really like one of the best weeks of our marriage, of our relationship. We've been together for 18 years, and we kind of felt like we were, you know,
newlyweds again.
Yeah, it was kind of that vibe. It was so good.
That's awesome. I love that for you, friend.
That's so
I love that for you too, my fellow Mexico traveler. Yeah, I feel very grateful. Shout out to Rachel, Mary, and the grandparents for holding it down for the kids back here. And similarly, I was going to say, similar to Naima, Noah was like, why the fuck am I not going on this really fun trip? You know, where I would love every single thing that you guys are doing. Like, this was a trip. And we decided, like, oh, we have to take the kids back here someday. Because it was very kid-friendly. But, that was, like, actually some real, you know, resilience that Noah was working through. Like, this idea that her parents were having fun without her. And you know, for her to actually find some happiness for us took some work, but I think she did. And the reunion was amazing, you know, coming back to them, mm-hmm. holding them when we got back. And I gotta say, we got them some really cool gifts too. So triumphs around.
We can triumph have our the triumph sound.
Yes. Hit it, Maura. Fantastic. Okay, listeners, as always, we want to hear your parenting stories too. Do you have a great triumph or funny fail? Send them to us and we might share them on the show. You can write to us at our email address, KarenFeedingPod@slate.com, or leave a voicemail at 646-357-9318.
If you were also in Cancun last week, we would like to know.
There was actually a Karen Feeding meetup Jamila and I didn't mention. Yeah, 100 of us gathered at a cenote.
Oh, you know what? Wait, before you wrap, I have a question for our listeners, and I posted this on the Slate Parenting Facebook group, and I got some great responses that I'm still researching, but I want to take Naima on a trip in August, I'm going back and forth between, like, going back to Mexico or going to an island or going to Disney, and basically, for what we would spend to go 4 or 5 days, like getting on a plane and flying somewhere beautiful is what it would cost to spend 3 days at Disney World, which is like an hour from our house. Leaning toward Disney, though, just because I feel like it might be the most gratifying for Naima. But
has she been?
She's been, yes. She's gone with her. She's been to Disney
you
World.
Said that. Yes.
Yes. She's been to Disneyland twice with her dad, I think. And we went to Disney World when she was like 2. So she wasn't really able to do anything yet. But if anybody has any recommendations for like great vacation destinations for a mother and daughter that would be fun and we can do stuff, or any tips for Disneyland, I am so open to them and so eager to hear them. I just really want us to have fun.
I would just say do something that's gratifying for both of you, not just for her.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, let us know on Facebook. Go to Slate Parenting Facebook page. And if you want more parenting advice, you can find Karen Feeding the column on slate.com. This episode of Karen Feeding is produced by Maura Curry. Shasha Leonard is the voice of our listeners. Alicia Montgomery is the VP of Slate Audio. For Elizabeth Newcamp and Jamila Lemieux, I'm Zach Rosen. Thanks for listening.